Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. Oh, the weather's so much nicer today than it was yesterday. And we got some better than terrible news in the Philadelphia area. How about that? Tyrone Johnson here with you on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia until 6 o'clock. Connor Thomas producing and doing updates today. 610-632-0975 is the number to participate. But we start with the word of the day because yesterday we had our heads in the clouds a little bit. We were dreaming. And today we are back to reality. That is the word of the day, back to reality. And I just mentioned we got some less than terrible news. So the reality is it now appears that Bryce Harper will not be out for the season like we thought. And he could be back. No, we're Friday's July 1st. In reality, he can be back the middle of August. And let me tell you, compared to how it could have been, this is not that bad. It's pretty good. Now, in a perfect world, oh, we got a second opinion, and really all he needs is a split and he can play tomorrow. That was never going to happen. In reality, this is about the best we could expect from this Harper situation. Not out for the season. It stinks that he'll be out. But they truly believe, it's out there from about 19 different sources, including NBC Sports Philadelphia, Jim Salisbury, it's all over, Inquirer, everybody, ESPN nationally, that the middle of August is realistic. And I can't say that I'm bothered by that at all, because Saturday was what Saturday was. And the heart sinks immediately. And it stinks. And it's terrible. Like, we talked about it. Going forward, though, you go, okay, this team, they won on Sunday. Let's see how they do. And now it's Phillies Braves, and the Phillies have a real chance. The other Phillies, the supporting cast, best pitcher on the mound tonight. Wasn't great his last start, so even better. Right now, they can step up and show all the fans what the new reality will be without Bryce Harper. The opportunity is there. We're just sitting there. If they go win 2 of 3, I'm not asking for a sweep. I'm not asking for anything. I'm asking everybody out there, what will be the new reality without Bryce Harper in this lineup? Because all the series matter. Every game counts the same, whether you're playing a good team or a bad team in a regular season. I know sometimes that's frustrating for the fans. We hear it with the Sixers. We hear it with the Eagles sometimes. Oh, they can't beat any good teams. Yeah, that matters in the playoffs. But in a regular season, whether we like it or not, a game against the Marlins and a game against the Braves count the same. A game against the worst team in baseball or the best team, it all just counts for one. But this series is big because they have to show the swag and the confidence. Schwarber has to keep it going. Castellanos, JT, Rhys Hoskins. We know the guys. We know the names. The question is, with this new reality today, where they know the end date. So you sit there and you know, okay, he's out now, but we know he's coming back. You also get a little bit of time with the All-Star break during that time. So that, like, each day that goes by, those are games he's not missing. You kind of see a light at the end of the tunnel. I think that should hopefully help guys relax a little bit at the plate, because you don't want guys pressing, all trying to be, I'm going to be the guy. I want them to have the mindset of, hey, we're going to go out there, we're going to play our game, we're going to do well, but I don't want guys trying to do too much at the plate, and these guys can't do too much in the field. I'm also fascinated about how they now use that DH spot for the next 4 to 6 weeks, well, 6 weeks, how that's going to go as well. And the Braves are the perfect. Why wait? Jump right into the deep end, the defending world champs. Jump right in there and go against them right away. I'm excited about this series. I'm excited about the new reality. I'm not happy that Bryce Harper's out. It stinks. And we're all robbed because we get to watch him every day and we know how incredible he is. But under the circumstances, this is about as good as we could expect in reality. And I feel pretty darn good right now. What do you say, Connor? I mean, all things considered, not too bad.
Nah, this is basically the best case scenario you could have hoped for. Once we knew it was a fracture, once we knew it was going to be an extended absence, this was kind of the time frame that would have been the best thing for the Phillies. So,
I don't mean to cut you off. We got some little news.
Oh, okay.
Eflin.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's on the 15-day DL with a knee bruise.
Okay.
Now that... Not good.
No.
Now, I'll let you finish in 1 second, Kyle. Sorry. So they actually have some depth in the lineup. Some depth in that. There's enough guys who have been in the major leagues, even Herrera, like who has been around that can hold you down for a short amount of time. What they don't have anything extra. And we've talked about this with Jason Stark. We've talked about this with Scott Lauber. We've talked about this with every baseball writer. They don't have much depth as far as starting pitching. And up until this point, as far as eating innings, them and the Yankees have been the best in the game. Well, Eflin, we thought something was fishy, and they kind of lied to us. Oh, it's fine. That was planned. Really, it was planned for him to pitch 3 innings. Really? Well, now we see the knees bothering him again. 15 days. And now, oh, God. Is it Bailey Falter?
It's going to have to be. It's going to have to be.
Well, there you go. That's our new reality. All right, so no Harper, and now Bailey Falter in the rotation. But other than that, right? Go ahead.
Yeah, other than that. Now, the slight positive to the Eflin thing, real quick, is that we kind of felt that there was something off about him. It almost makes me feel better that he's not healthy the way he was throwing, and it seems like it's minor. So if he comes back after let's call it 2 weeks, and he's just fine the rest of the way, that's good. But, I mean, you knew something was going to happen at some point there. But Harper, it's the best-case scenario based on what we already knew. And they still have, they've got the fourth easiest schedule in baseball the rest of the way.
Right.
You got the All-Star break in there. They can tread water, and they're getting the Braves at a really good time. Like, Acuna might miss this entire series.
Yeah, he's not 100% either.
Yeah, so, like, it just, this is working out well for the Phillies. They still got to win games. They still got to have the guys available have to play and play well. But as far as a bad situation, they're getting the best of it.
That's what I think. And I want to hear people. What do you think about their new reality right now? 610-632-0975. Because here's the weird thing I've noticed. The summertime is weird. This week's a weird week because it's a holiday week. And then next week's kind of a holiday week. So we know a lot of people that took off this week. We know a lot of people who are taking off next week and all that. So, but baseball is the thing you can do wherever you are. On the beach, wherever you are, you can always do it. I got the My Teams app. That's what I use to watch the Phillies. When I'm on the beach, I sit there. It's like I'm there. But so 610-632-0975. Now, we're going to talk about that, obviously. The other thing we're going to get into right at the start, we have tons of things to get to, by the way, like 97 things. But the next thing I want to get into, yesterday we were able to dream a little bit. What would happen if Kevin Durant was to spin out and Kyrie Irving? Well, if you want to talk about a person, crazy with the K, Kyrie. Crazy Kyrie. You know, many times sexist people talk about women being crazy. No woman, man, or alien is weirder than Kyrie Irving. So he decided to do what every player does, not take a $30-plus million pay cut, shockingly. He did the complete normal thing. But, of course, he had to do it in a very weird way. Normal people keep the world going. But those who dare to be different lead us into tomorrow. I've made my decision to opt in. See you in the fall.
What?
Oh, what? Normal people keep the world going. But those who dare to be different lead us into tomorrow. I've made my decision to opt in. See you in the fall.
Oh, good for you.
Are you kidding me with this guy? Are you kidding me with this guy? Now, apparently, the Lakers are now looking to get a third team. The Nets still don't like him. So there is still a chance he can get moved, and all the Durant stuff would then come up once again. But for now, he's opted back in. Why does this guy have to be so detached from reality? Right. Booty's right. He's like he's stealing fortune cookie lines.
Yeah.
Like in Brooklyn, yes. From a local place in Brooklyn. And tweeting it out. So one thing that, like I talk about sports as a job. I try to look at other people's perspectives and mindset and have different conversations. And we know we talk about more than sports, especially in the summertime when some people want to talk about other things and they're out and about. So I understand that part. But at the end of the day, I'm just like a guy sitting here for 4 hours talking about sports. And I go on the weekends, I like to go have a drink. And like, that's my life. Fake deep people. People who think they're intellectual. People who think that they're so interesting and are the most annoying people in the world. Like, and maybe none of us know a crazy with a K Kyrie, KK, as his friends apparently call him now. But do any of us know the fake deep people? You know, in my life, and they come up with, and almost always it's to do something very normal. Like Kyrie's in the last year of a max contract and has averaged less than 40 games for the last 3 years, and there wasn't a big market for him. The natural thing to do would be to opt in and take all that money. There was nothing daring to be different about that. That's what everyone would do. Yet he has to fake like he's deep. Westbrook did the same thing. Westbrook's not what he used to be. He's getting paid $46 million. You know what he did? He opted in. Now, he sang Beyonce. I'm not going to knock him for that. But of course that's a very normal thing. If anybody out there, I don't want you to give anybody names. I don't want you to out someone by name. But if you would like to discuss a fake deep friend, a fake deep relative, a fake deep college professor. I had a college professor whose whole personality was he's a ponytail. I don't remember his name because all the whole semester I called him Ponytail Man. So if I ever ran into him again, I would call him like, oh, there's Ponytail Man. He's just Ponytail Man to me but his whole personality was at the start of the semester. You see me, I'm not like these other professors. You know, I got my hair. Now, he was just a regular ass professor. Like, the most regular professor. If a paper was due a day late, you lost a letter grade. Everything was just completely normal. But he swore that ponytail from Ponytail Man made him just totally different and interesting. And it did not. Like, what is with these people? Like, who was around Kyrie to make him think that that's normal to say that?
Dude, I don't think he listens to anybody, even the people around him. I think he's just so in his own, like, solo bubble that no one can reach him anymore. I don't even know.
It's just so strange. It's just so strange. And thank goodness, because there's another twisted scenario where he might have ended up here. Instead of hard or something, like if somehow Maury was could you imagine him in this city?
Yeah, that wouldn't go over well.
Imagine him as I order my cheesesteak, I contemplate, shut up. Like, why? Somebody take Twitter away from, and what are you doing, Shams? Shams, you got to be a friend to him. Come on, Shams. Hey, you sure you want me to release this? No, I'm saying I'll bury this if you want to and just mention that you're opting in. Oh, you want me to tell people you said this? Hold on. You really want me to tell people that after you opt into a $36-plus million max contract, that normal people keep the world going. But those who dare to be different lead us into tomorrow. I've made my decision to opt in. See you in the fall. And if people out there, last thing, 610-632-0975, if anybody out there wants to go, oh, he's just having fun with the people. No, he's not. No, he's not. That's the scary part. He's not clever enough with a K. He's crazy enough with a K. He's not clever enough with a K to know how to be joking around and doing this. He's dead serious. So is he the biggest space cadet in the history of sports? And if anybody, I tell you what, we have FanFest tickets. If anybody calls in today throughout the 4 hours and can give a real case for another top athlete, not some role player whose kookiness took him out of the league, a guy who's a star player that was as weird as Kyrie, you will automatically win FanFest tickets because I would love to hear about it. 610-632-0975. Word of the day is reality, our new reality with the Phillies without Bryce Harper and with Eflin in the short term. And Kyrie Irving once again proving that he doesn't even know anybody who knows reality. That's how far out of whack he is. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson here with you until 6 on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson here with you until 6. But now it is time for What's Cracking with Connor. What do you have today, Connor?
Thanks, Ty. We got some interesting ones today. And we're starting with probably what's going to be the weirdest. All right, let's head over to Sweden. Solidly normal country, right? They don't really do all that much. Kind of cold. Everyone's like inside, I feel like, most of the time. Okay, well, they came up with this new burger.
Okay.
And it's vegan. A lot of places are doing this. They're coming up with stuff to substitute for meat.
That's good because I don't eat meat. So I have, like, some places make a salmon burger, but they don't have that most times.
Right.
I have to get the vegan burger.
So maybe you'll want to try this because a Swedish food company... it's spelled O-U-M-P-H. I guess it's like oomph is how it's pronounced or whatever. They developed a burger that tastes like human flesh.
What?
Yeah. They developed a bizarre human meat flavored burger. It won a top award over there in Sweden. No humans were injured in the development of this product is what the company made sure to say. Okay.
The flavor of the burger.
Human
is supposed to approximate the taste of human flesh.
Correct.
And it's for people to eat.
It's for people to eat.
So this is the gateway drug for cannibals.
Exactly.
Okay, go ahead.
And the reason they did this, they said they wanted to prove that it was possible to produce plant-based products that taste like any meat. So when they say any meat, they decided to choose human flesh.
See, like, we're doing too much. Like, that's the definition of doing too much.
Yeah, I
that's
just
doing way too much.
I don't understand who came up with this. I don't understand who is consuming this. I don't understand who's comparing this to human meat and telling us that it tastes the same.
Yeah, like, I don't know how, like, and you cook this burger, I assume.
Yeah. No, you
so,
cook it.
So, like, let's say you're a married person and, you know, when two people fall in love, things happen. You might have tasted, like, flesh in that way. 99.999999% of people don't know what human flesh that's cooked tastes like.
No, yeah, no one has any idea about
so
that.
So how would you be able to get... Right, we know. That's like people that get caught in a plane crash in the mountains and they live and they're desperate and they have to, like, designate that person, which is always you just pick the biggest person.
Yeah, always.
And you got to take them out first and then you eat them if you, like, to keep from dying. But you get the point because it's the most meat to go around. It's not personal. But you don't know what that tastes like until you, like, I got a lot of problems with this. A
lot of questions with that. So, would you try the human flesh burger?
No.
No, not even a nibble.
No.
No?
No. I don't want to get a taste for that. They say that's what happens
with sharks.
What if
you put, like, ketchup or barbecue sauce on there or something? Some fixins, maybe some lettuce.
The man-eating sharks, they say they're a myth, but I don't believe they're a myth. I just think they're rare. They get a taste of that human and go, that was delicious. Let me get some more of that. What happens if you don't know deep down inside that once you taste the approximation, you'll be dying for more?
Yeah,
I don't want to take that kind of chance.
I hear what you're saying.
I have a lot to lose.
I don't think they would turn me into a cannibal.
You
I'm also
know.
Not choosing to eat the human flesh just because I don't need to know what human
I don't want to
flesh
know.
Tastes
I'm
like. I'm kind of good on that.
Anybody else wants to eat that, 610-632-0975, would you like to eat an approximation of cooked human flesh? Weirdos.
Shout out Sweden for making the leap in science we never needed.
Yeah.
All right, so a man has set an interesting Guinness World Record. Walked 3.4 miles while balancing a full-size guitar on his chin. Looking straight up in the air, he's balancing it right on his chin. His name's David Rush. He's broken nearly 250 Guinness World Records to promote STEM education. So he's actually doing it for a good cause. But
that's good.
It took him an hour and 7 minutes to break that record. So just an hour and 7 minutes of balancing this full-size guitar right on his chin, walking around 13 laps around the track before the guitar fell. Now, he complained because he said he had to battle a light breeze, and he had to lay down because he was dizzy and sore afterwards. So Mr. Rush was going through it.
He's walking with his... And it's a full guitar. Those aren't light.
No, they're not.
They're pretty heavy.
You know, are you impressed by this Guinness World Record?
Yes and no. I couldn't do it. Don't think I could ever do it. Some of these records, I feel like, well, why would I want to do that?
Right.
That's my issue. Why? Like, I get the stem part, but he could have done anything to raise. Why pick balancing a full-size guitar in your chair and then walking 3.4 miles? Like,
Yeah, because he's got 250 of them, right? So I'm assuming this is a guy who can just balance stuff on his chin well. Yeah. He's just picking random objects and says, has anyone balanced the chair? Has anyone balanced the guitar? And just going to walk as far as I can with it and set the world record. Now, sounds like he's doing it for a good cause, so that's great. Good, but...
It's just one of those dumb things.
It is.
I would like, and I can tell you, though, with the one I would most like to break, if not for the accidental farts, is the sit-up record. But you know if you break the Guinness World Record for sit-ups, because I just think you would be definitely jacked if you could break the sit-up record.
No, definitely.
But you'd also break the accidental fart record, and they wouldn't give you credit for it.
Yeah, you'd break the world record for
wind. I want both records.
Yeah.
I don't want just the one. I farted 90,000 times when I was doing those 10,000 sit-ups, so give me both the records. That would be my beef with it.
I don't think you want that other record, because then you're going to have, like, world's stinkiest man next to that.
Some of them were silent but deadly, but some of them weren't not anything.
See, I can't smell, so I can't determine. I am not a good one to determine that record.
Yes, you're
smell
blind.
Rightfully call out a wind or no wind.
Yes.
All right, our final one. So a man in Michigan was having a bad day at work. It actually led to him making a lot of money.
Okay.
So he was having a bad day at his office. He left work early. Ended up turning his day around by winning a $1 million lottery jackpot. He was having just a bad day at J&H Family Stores in Owosso, Michigan. And he left, stopped by the gas station on the way home, bought a lottery ticket, won a milli.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep. He went and he bought a new truck, bolstered his savings, ended up turning his day completely around, which, you know, it doesn't really happen. They say when it rains, it pours. It's very rare that you pull out of, like, a bad day with just an immediate turnaround like that.
Yes, you're right.
And it also shows that it pays to sometimes, you got to just get out of work early. If you have a bad day, sometimes you just got to hit the eject button.
Right.
And you just got to bounce.
Right. Now, whether it's work or other times, just get out of that situation. Maybe it turns around.
Right.
I figured out what $1 million is. You can't quit your career for $1 million. But you could absolutely quit your job. Like, if you just have a job and you don't have a career... And you get $1 million, quit. You find another job.
If you're like a cashier, a part-time worker somewhere or something, stocking shelves, like you can switch that around.
If you have a career, you can't quit. Because when you're young, you think $1 million is a lot of money. Not that it's not a lot of money. What I mean is you're going to make most people make $1 million in their lifetime. You're not set for life with $1 million. That's $33,000 a year for 30 years.
Yeah, it's not.
That's not set for life. But if you just got a job, man, quit that.
Right.
Just quit that. Get a suit nicer than you can afford and go get yourself a better job that could turn into a career.
Yeah, but it also shows that sometimes it pays off to just leave work early. So with that being said.
All right, Connor's out of here. That was What's Cracking with Connor, and he's wrapping it up halfway through the show.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Now, this guy used to cover the Phillies for years, but now doing all kinds of different pieces. And he's on the Comcast Business Hotline right now, Mr. Matt Breen. How are you today, Matt?
I'm good, Tyrone. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. Now, I was reading your story, and I was fascinated about possibly bringing back the black jerseys that started the revolution 25 years ago. You talked to Pat Croce and many others. First things first, we love jerseys, and we're fanatical about them. People are all excited about the Kelly Green coming back for the Eagles. What made you want to write this story in the first place, Matt?
I don't know. I'm always looking for different things to write about. You know, my mind's in a million different spots, coming up with weird stories to write, different stories. And an easy thing I can lean on is anniversaries, like 20, what happened 25 years ago, and a couple, this is probably the fourth thing I've found in 1997 that is interesting, and you can tie it back to today, and it was the black jersey. So I figured I would kind of reach out and see if they were going to bring them back this year. They're not going to bring them back this year, but they, and it's not their choice. There's Nike and the NBA has these weird uniform rules that any throwback, which is called a classic jersey, can't be worn. It has to be tied to like an anniversary year to a championship or a first season of a franchise. So it sounds like they're going to have to wait till next, not this season coming up, maybe the next season after that to wear them. But they're going to bring them back. And I felt like, I don't know, I was just curious where they came from and then how could I make it a story? Because I could put some news in there and there we go.
You know, it's really fascinating. And I already said that. The reason is for a lot of people of a certain age, that's their jersey. Like, that's the jersey. If you were like 8 years old, you're 33 now, that's your jersey. That's the Sixers jersey that you most remember. And some of the best success post-1983, the best success post-1983 happened with that jersey. And I think that probably plays a role why people are so attached to it. I'm sure it might have been one of the early jerseys for you, too.
Yeah, I mean, you just said 8 and 33. That's me. I'm 33 now. So, yeah, I got that jersey for Christmas that year. I'm sure, you know, I remember my buddies in the neighborhood, we all had it. We all would wear it to basketball practice and stuff. And I think there's something about that era that it's the 2001 Sixers. Like, I just can't explain. Like, you know, if you weren't here, and I know you were, so you know how that was, but it was just crazy. And I don't know if a team has ever captured the city in my lifetime like they did in 01 with the car flags. And just like, it was insane, you know, that whole month of June during the playoffs. And for whatever reason, we've had such an attachment to that era of Sixers basketball and Philadelphia sports. And that uniform is definitely symbolic of that. And there was bad times in that uniform too, right? But, yeah. But I think we focus on the good memories, Allen Iverson, and of course Allen Iverson's entire tenure, there were bad seasons with Allen Iverson, but you know, distance makes the heart grow fonder, and we just think of 01 and we think of them wearing the black jerseys and going to the NBA finals, and the jersey will represent that forever. And I think it's something the fans have pined for since they really eliminated them, is them to have this as an alternate. And if you look around the NBA, so many of these cool 90s jerseys are being brought back. The Nets brought theirs back as an alternate. The Grizzlies, the Raptors, the Dallas Mavericks, all these, almost ever, the Jazz, the Suns, all these jerseys that were so great in the 90s have come back as alternates, and the Sixers haven't done it yet. And they had a chance to do it a couple years ago. Instead, we got Boathouse Row, which was just, you know, such a letdown of a jersey, in my opinion. And so it's nice to know that it sounds like the black jersey, the Sixers black jersey from the 90s is coming back, you know, it's sometime in the near future.
Yeah, it's exciting for me. And what's crazy is now you bring it back memories. My first year in radio was in October of 2000. So that was the season. Like, that was when started. That was the season when it started. Now, speaking of, I referenced this earlier, talking about the Boathouse Row, before I get into what you talked about with Pat Croce. When I saw the Boathouse thing, I was like, holy crap, wow, you almost had it. You were this close. They had this concept that was just so forced to me. I don't get it. If you woke up 20 years from now and saw that, you would ask what team that was, and you would have no idea. It had no connection to the Sixers whatsoever. And, of course, Ben Simmons played a big role in designing that jersey. I don't think it's coincidence that he designed it and it ended up not connecting with the city at all or not having a reflection of the team, because deep down, in hindsight, the guy really never wanted to be here.
Yeah, I think it's just funny now. Like, at the time, Ben Simmons was a lot more popular in Philadelphia than he is now. So it is funny to look back now. And I forgot that Ben Simmons designed it until I was writing the story. So it just makes the jersey so much more perfect that it was such a, you know, a bust of a jersey and that Ben Simmons had a hand in it. And then when you go back to the 97 jersey, the black jersey, Pat Croce actually, like, the NBA designed it with the help of Pat Croce, but he actually had Allen Iverson input involved in it. So Allen Iverson designed the one everybody loves. Ben Simmons designed the one that everybody hated.
Wow. You know, I didn't know that Allen Iverson until then had the input into that black jersey that we love so much. And now I think the personalities came out. Now, you got to talk to Pat Croce about it. I think people should go to the Inquirer and read your story. They always should read your stuff because it's fantastic. But what was it like talking to Pat Croce? What did he have to say, if you want to give an overview about what he thought about the jerseys at the time? Because at the time, remember, this is right after he has to have a forum. He fires Johnny Davis, and he basically just allows all the season ticket holders to come to the Wells Fargo Center and yell at him. Like that had just happened, where he was like on the floor. He just let them yell at him for hours, and he sit there and took it. And now here comes this new jersey. So, yeah, elaborate a little bit about what Pat Croce said about it.
He was great. And just the one thing that has been great about this new job is that in his new role, Matt, after covering the Phillies for 7 years and just doing the Phillies and now able to do whatever, you know, almost whatever I want to do, is I've gotten to talk to these people that I've never had business talking to, you know, in my prior role. And like Pat Croce, somebody I grew up with as a, you know, as a Sixers fan in Philadelphia, and you knew who Pat Croce was. And then to get on the phone with Pat Croce, it's like, it was exactly what you would think Pat Croce was like, you know, high energy, just, you know, the perfect person to interview. And he was all about, we talked about, it was mostly an Iverson story that I wrote a couple months ago, and then, you know, snuck in some uniform stuff. And he was great. He said, when I took over the team in 96, there were 3,000 season ticket holders. Nobody cared about the Sixers. Nobody was coming to the games. The team stunk. So they had to, that's what he said, a revolution in attitude and a revolution in mindset and everything. And like you said, he got rid of the GM, got rid of the coach, brought in Larry Brown, and gets these new uniforms. So it just, he changed everything overnight when he came on board. And obviously they go to a new arena, and it seemed like the perfect storm that then they draft Allen Iverson, and you know, the year before that. And it just was the perfect storm to have, you know, this guy in charge, this positive mental attitude, unorthodox owner who really just, this team needed at the time a total facelift. And that's what he gave them, and it helped that they also gave him a new look.
Yeah, I think that absolutely played a role. At the time, it was a fresh coat of paint that was badly needed. You've lived here. You've been here. You're from here. And why in general do you think we're so enamored with jerseys? What I mean is, the Yankees, I understand the pinstripes, they have a trillion World Series and all that success. Philadelphia, we don't really win a lot, yet we have the Kelly Green we already mentioned. We don't win nearly enough, yet we're obsessed with certain jerseys. And people, every week I get people on social media send me mock-ups of an alternate jersey for the Flyers, and they should do this. Why do you think this city is so obsessed with jerseys, and it is more than other cities?
Yeah, I think the jersey represents the memories that you have watching the team. Like, I hate when people say the Kelly Green jersey, like, that represents losing, because, you know, the Eagles, all they did really for the most of those Kelly Greens was lose. And, you know, the midnight green is they won the Super Bowl. And it's like, yeah, okay, but that's not what the jersey represents. Like, when I'm, you know, looking at a Kelly Green Eagles jersey, I'm not thinking of, like, you know, the 94, 95 Eagles. Like, you're thinking of, you know, watching, that might have been the Eagles teams you grew up with, that you got into football with, that you got into sports. And that's where I think maybe, you know, as a city, you know, we're so invested in our teams that it's a memory for yourself of how, like, the powder blue jerseys might have been the Phillies jerseys when you were a kid in the 80s. And it makes you think back to going to the vet and seeing the Phillies play. And just like the vet, was a dump. But why do we all love the vet? Because it's where you went, and where you went every summer for a dollar to sit up top in the kids 700 level and fell in love with baseball. And I think as a city, we're just, we don't have a lot of championships, right? But we are invested for whatever reason. And the fan base here is different than almost anywhere else. And I think jerseys are, it's not necessarily the style of it, but it's the memories of, you know, the teams, and why you fell in love with the Sixers is because of 2001. And what were they wearing? They were wearing these black jerseys. And for that reason, the black jersey for you is always going to be special.
You know, and it is. Well, I want to appreciate so much. I thank you so much for writing this piece. I really appreciate it. It really brought back some good memories for me. And I got to be honest, I would be pretty happy and would buy an Embiid or maybe a Maxi black jersey if they brought it back. I have to admit, I haven't bought a jersey in a while now that I'm like sort of in the business outside of a Harper Phillies jersey. I like to have long-term jerseys. Man, I think if they bring it back a year from, you know, if we're having this conversation 1 year from now.
Yeah.
And they're bringing it back. I think a maxi black jersey would be maybe the biggest seller in the city.
It won't be a Ben Simmons black jersey.
No, that it will not be. Thanks so much, Matt. And, appreciate the time.
I appreciate that a lot. Thanks, Tyler.
Yeah, no problem. Talk to you soon, man. That was Matt Breed on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.